Good morning. Please have a seat. Welcome to this time and this place of worship. I'm Reverend Michael Mugford, and I'm in ministry here at Cole Harbor Woodside United Church. And if you are visiting with us this morning, a very warm welcome to you. We're so pleased to have gathered with us this morning for worship this day. Please, if you are a visitor with us this morning, do let us know you've been here. We've got a guest book just outside the door of the sanctuary here. Let us know. Sign that guest book. After service, there's a time of coffee and fellowship in the hall. You go out the doors here to your left and keep following. Do join us for some coffee, fellowship, conversation, some good snacks. During the service at the offering time, if you as a visitor would like to leave an offering, and we don't ask our guests to leave an offering, but if you would like to, we do invite you to use the guest envelopes that are there in the pews. Fill them out, and our finance committee would love to say thanks for worshiping with us this morning. They'll send you a lovely letter. And if you think that Cole Harbor Woodside might be the place for you to live within faith community, come and see me following the service. I'd love to have some conversation with you about how we can help that to happen. So as we gather as a church nationally, as a denomination, we have received the work of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of our nation, and we have committed to acknowledging the place in which we gather. And so we have been doing that for the last little while. Here in Mi'kma'ki, we gather on the lands of the Wabanaki peoples, particularly the Mi'kmaq. And the treaty that we have with the Mi'kmaq is not one that is reflected in other parts of our nation. We have a peace and friendship treaty. No land was ceded, no territory turned over to either the British or the French. That was a peace and friendship treaty in which all parties agreed to live together in the land. And so we acknowledge that today. And so we gather in this place with gratitude, acknowledging that we live and worship on lands that are by law the unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq. May we live with respect on this land and in peace and friendship with its people. And as we light our candles this morning, we pause first to light candles of prayer for the Barho family, who are deep in grief this day, will be for a long, long time to come. These lights are but a small token of the support that they have received as a family who have come to this nation as refugees seeking to share in hope for them and for their children for the future. May these lights remind us may our prayers surround them in their grief. As a faith community and as faithful people, we remind ourselves that as we gather here, we do so in the light of Christ, whose light is within us and within the world, and whose light we are called to share. We light a candle of peace for those places in our world where there is no peace, where there is conflict. For those places in our relationships in which there is no peace, there is conflict. And for those places within our very souls, our very individual persons, where there is conflict and not peace. May all find the peace of Christ within them. And we light a candle of honor of those who serve. We remember those who serve in our armed forces, in this place and around our world, go to places to help for the cause of peace. Those who are here for us in our communities each and every day, peace officers and firefighters, EMTs, those who staff our emergency rooms, support workers, everyone from those who greet us at the door and help us when we are injured or in need, to those who ensure that there is food and clean linens for those who are there. We think of those who staff our nursing homes, long-term care facilities. They are there for us in our time of greatest need, and we honor them with this light. Amen. Let us gather this day and sing. Number 9 in Voices, More Voices.
We give our thanks and praise to God.
You guys did great. I got you. Yes. Let us join our hearts and minds and our spirits together this day in prayer. God of abundant life, we come today to counter the voices that call us to believe in emptiness, that there will never be enough, that we should be fearful of sharing. We, called by Jesus, are to let go of the illusion of security and instead grasp the risk of ministry, touching and knowing the pain of others and bringing them Christ's comfort. We are sometimes overwhelmed by the images of hunger, by the suffering of children near and far, by the endless tales of senseless violence, greed, and death. Yet, O loving one, we know and trust in your touch. In you we bear the responsibility for our neighbor, and we accept the challenge of acknowledging your abundance. We rejoice that we have much to share. We come with our meager loaves and fish and find that you bless them and us. You break the bread and you share it with them and us. When each one of us is no longer hungry, there will still be more. For this truth, we are thankful, and in this truth, we worship. May it be so. And our opening hymn this morning, number 567 in Voices United, will you come and follow me?
We left. Our scripture this morning is from Matthew 14, verses 13 to 21. And this is just when John the Baptist had died. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it is already getting late. Send the crowd away so that they can go to the village and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go. You give them something to eat." "We here have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the bread. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketful of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children.
Sally, if the children who are here this morning would like to come and join me at the front. Oh, thank you. I'll put that over in the offering plate. Now, I know you guys like to sit way down here on the stairs, but I need everybody to come down this way this morning. Everybody's got to come down this way. Okay. You don't have to sit on the mat, but you got to come a little bit closer. A little bit closer, a little bit closer, closer, closer. Good, right there. All right. Now, I have a question for you this morning. When you came to church this morning, when you got up and you got ready to come to church this morning, did you remember to bring with you your imagination? Did you? You brought it with you? Good. Have you got your imagination with you this morning? Or did you leave it on your dresser? Did you bring your imagination? Good. Everybody's got their imaginations? Good. All right. You've got yours too? Okay. Because the first thing I want to put down this morning is this great big heavy steel pot. It's really heavy. I don't want to drop it. Oh, it's got my finger. It's got my finger. Help me pull my finger. Can you help me pull my finger out? Help me pull my finger out. Hurry. It's remember, imagination. It's a great big steel pot. Yeah, for iron. It's an iron pot, steel pot. So I want to share a story with you this morning about just how important it is for us to work together and to be together. And I want to tell a story, but I think probably a lot of you have heard the story, but I want to tell it again anyway. So a long, 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 long time ago, stories often happen a long, 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 long time ago. There was... No, some of them are fairly recent. This one happened a long time ago. And there was a stranger who was traveling along, and they came to a town. You know this one. And they were very, very hungry. And so they went and they knocked on some of the doors of the people who lived in the town. And they said, "I need something to eat. Can you help me?" And they said, "No, I can't help you. All I have left in my whole house is 1 turkey leg. And that's got to feed my whole family. So no, I'm sorry, I can't help you." So they went to the next house. And they knocked on the door and said, "I'm really, really hungry. Could you help me?" And they said, "No, all I have left is 1 ear of corn. I can't share that with you. I need to feed my family with that. And they went away. And then they went to the next house, and they said, I'm really, really hungry. Do you think you could help me? Give me a little food? And they said, no, I only have 2 potatoes left, and I'm really going to need those to help feed my family. It's not enough for my family, but it's all I have left, so I'm sorry. I can't. And they finally went to the next house, and they said, I'm sorry, but all we have are just a few peas left. And that's not going to be enough to feed my family, but it's all I have. And finally, they went to the last house, and they said, all I have is half an onion. I don't know about you, but I don't want to eat onion with nothing else. So I'm sorry, I can't help you. So the person went, and they said, well, so they went to the leader of the town, and they said, do you have a big pot? Like, I mean a big pot, not a little pot that you put on the stove, but a big pot. And so the leader of the town said, yeah, I guess we have a pretty big one. We can set it up for you. And they said, set it up in the middle of the town square, and I'm going to build a big fire under that pot. And do you think you'd get some people to help me put water in the pot?
Wait, I think he's going to make a little
drink with the food. So after the big kettle pot of water was boiling and bubbling, the stranger took a spoon and he... Soup's not bad. The soup's not bad, but I'll tell you what it needs. It needs my special, and he said it very, very, very loud, my very special friendship stone. My friendship stone. I know whenever I put my friendship stone in a pot, it makes the most delicious soup in the whole entire world. And so they plopped it into the pot. And they stirred it around and around and around. And then they tasted the soup and, it's getting better. The soup is getting better, I gotta say. Well, the people in the town, they were kind of amazed that this person was eating soup that all it had in it was a stone. And so the first person came out and said, well, I could add my 1 turkey leg that's left to the pot. Would that help, do you think? And the person said, yeah, that would be wonderful. Put it in. They put it in, they stirred it up, and then they both tasted it, and they said, not bad. Not bad at all. And then another person came out and said, well, I have that onion still. Do you think the onion would help your soup? And they said, yeah, let's put it in. So they put it in the pot, and they stirred it around. They tasted it. Oh, it's getting better. It's getting much better. And then the next person said, well, we could throw those peas in that I have. And so they put it in the great big pot, and they stirred it around, and they tasted it and went, oh, my, that's the best yet. That is the best yet. Well, other people in the town said, well, I have those potatoes still. I'd really like to help. Could I put the potatoes in? Oh. Go ahead, put the potatoes in. That'd be wonderful. So they put the potatoes in, and they stirred it around, and they tasted the soup, and they said, oh, that is amazing. You know what? If only we had some corn. That would make it perfect. And the person said, well, I still have that ear of corn. Should I put it in? Oh, if you would put that in, that would make this the most divine soup in the whole entire world. And so they put the corn in, and they stirred it, and they let it bubble and boil for a little while, and they tasted it. And it truly was the most divine soup any of them had ever tasted. And the whole town was able to come out and have a little bit of soup. And the fellow said, all because I put my stone in that soup does it taste so good. Because friendship is the thing that we need in our lives. And they got their stone back, and when they went on to the next town, the story continued. And how does that sound? Did I do a good job for those of you who know the story? It's important that we share, isn't it? Even when we think we don't have enough to share, we can share. We can spend time together. Maybe we don't have, we'd like to do something nice for someone in our family, but we don't have any money. We can draw a picture or a nice big heart and color it in. You know what else is really good? Hugs. Hugs are free. You could give hugs to everybody and never, ever run out, right? You can give love and care to people. And kindness, exactly. All of those things are wonderfully free, and we can share them with everybody, and they never, ever run out. So friendship and God's love are the basis of who we are as people of faith. So the next time you think about stone soup, you should make some with your friends. Let's have a little prayer. We'll put our hands together and get you to repeat after me. Thank you, God, for all the little things that I can share with others. Help me to always remember that hugs and love, care and kindness are always free. Amen. Thank you very much. Wonderful. So we're going to shout out our love for Jesus as we sing 183 in more voices. Okay? Everybody stand up. We're going to sing together. Now, it says shout, so we gotta shout, right? Ready? Sunday school programming for you upstairs. Pause with me for a moment of prayer. O Holy One, in whose Spirit we live and move and have our being, may your Spirit move within the words I share this day. May they sink down into our hearts and spirits and help us to live more closely in you. In Christ we pray. Amen. So today we gather to hear another story from Matthew's Gospel. In the narrative lectionary that we're following, we're going to be working our way through this section of Matthew's Gospel for the next number of weeks. And so this morning's passage is the feeding of the 5,000 men, not including the women and the children. Now I know why they shorten it in lectionary and commentaries to just the feeding of the 5,000, because that gets a little cumbersome to say every single time. This sign, or this miracle, as they're often called, is the only one that appears in all four of the Gospels, the canonical Gospels of our Christian scriptures. And so it obviously had a great deal of significance to the earliest of the proto-Christian communities that spread across the Middle East and into the Roman Empire. And that's why we have it preserved in our Gospels today. So up until this point that we reach in the story, a little backstory is important to help provide some context here. So over the last number of chapters, we've been hearing Jesus preach. We began with the Sermon on the Mount and all the Beatitudes way back in chapter 5. And we've been going through this very long section in Matthew's Gospel. And just as we're about to reach the point where we are this morning, along comes the, I'll back up a little bit here. So Jesus has been teaching all of this time. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he goes home to Nazareth for a little bit of a break, I guess. And when he goes home, he goes and he teaches in the synagogue. But as it says, you know, in the old saying, you can't go home again. Jesus couldn't go home again because they didn't listen to him. And in fact, they kind of, you know, chased him out of the synagogue. So as he's leaving and finding the next place which to go, he gets news that John the Baptizer has been killed by Herod. And we can imagine Jesus' shock at the death of his cousin and possibly his mentor. Even if John and Jesus could both read the signs of what was not far off, it still must have come as a shock to him. And so he goes off by himself. And just when he's trying to center himself again, the crowds find him and continue to follow them. And rather than send them away, the gospel writer says Jesus has compassion on them in his own grief. He suffers with them. And perhaps he is sharing in experiencing in his own suffering and sharing in theirs. And the words compassion and mercy are often linked in the scriptures. And so suffering with someone, and then mercy talks about womb love. I'm sorry to those of you from Tuesday morning who I said that was what the definition of compassion was. It's not. Mercy is womb love. Compassion and mercy. To suffer with someone with womb love. That's a powerful, powerful link that is made. So Jesus teaches and heals those who have gathered here with compassion and mercy. And he recognizes the lateness of the day, and the disciples implore Jesus to send those people away. And Jesus says to them, I'm not going to send them away. I'm not going to send them away, and in fact, you're going to feed them. Not I'm going to feed them. You're going to feed them. To which, and I think it was Peter, because Peter sounds like the kind of person who would say this, are you kidding me? 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Even if we had bought them at Costco, we could not get loaves and fish big enough. How are we going to feed all these people? And I just picture in my head Jesus kind of remaining cool and calm and collected, and he says, don't worry, Peter. There's always enough. God is a God of abundance. Now, I have to stop right here and say, I got pulled aside this week and said, Mike, you've used that word an awful lot lately, abundance. But as I said a few weeks ago, the voices of fear and scarcity have held the stage for too long in our society. And I have made a personal vow to say the word abundance twice for every time I hear the word fear or scarcity. Because I think, as people of faith, abundance is the place from which we come. And so Jesus has the disciples make the people sit down, and he takes the loaves and the fishes, and the Tuesday morning thinkers know what's coming next. He broke the loaves. He broke the loaves. Says nothing about the fish. He broke the loaves. And he gave the loaves to his disciples. And the disciples gave the loaves to the people. And they ate and were filled. Now, a good Jewish theologian reading this would say, Matthew is having God act through Jesus as God acted for the Israelites in the desert with manna. Enough for everyone to be filled. God provided bread in the wilderness in Exodus. God provided bread by the lake in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, in John. Later on, Matthew will lift bread again and give thanks and break it, and all those who are there will be filled. The very next chapter, in fact, 4,000 people will gather, and from 7 loaves and a few small fish, the exact same words as Matthew's account, he blesses, he breaks, and he feeds. A commentator for the lectionary points out the first crowd, there are 5,000 Jewish people, and in the second crowd, there are 4,000 Gentile people. And you have to kind of follow the arc of the story to find out where Jesus has been going at this particular point in time. And the commentator offers, their words, not mine, that the two stories together in 14 and 15 demonstrate the abundance of God to both Jews and Gentiles alike. That's the kingdom for Jews and Gentiles alike. So Jews and everybody else. There is abundance. Everyone else will be fed by the realm of God. There is always enough, and there will always be enough in God's realm. That is the gospel. And I don't mind preaching it. As I've said before, there is a lot of fear and uncertainty in the world. There's a lot of fear and uncertainty in our denomination as we struggle and try and figure out what it's going to look like in the days to come. And even in some portions of our own congregation. But it's not a bad thing all of the time, fear and uncertainty. It's fear and uncertainty that comes from jumping off cliffs in that place. It's a good thing. When it directs and governs the way we live the gospel of Christ, then we need to refocus on God and God's promise to be with us in all things. We have some wonderfully amazing challenges ahead of us. We have some wonderfully amazing opportunities ahead of us. And we need to listen to the Spirit calling us. We need to allow the Spirit to help us discern where we are meant to be. In that call, we can find ourselves on the lake shore with the crowd and the disciples. In that moment, we can be asking Jesus the way the disciples did, how will 5 loaves and 2 fish feed all these people? Because that's a good question. However, we have to remember, as faithful people, the action of the story is that whenever Jesus takes our loaves and blesses them, and breaks them. Oh, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that is when God's abundance is shown. feeding us in body, in mind, and in soul. And when we give over to Christ our fear of scarcity, in that moment we are fed until we can eat no more. And when, after all that we have done in God's name and in the life of the Spirit, we go around and we pick up all the things that are left over, oh, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that is when God reminds us that what we have in our hands, as in the words of Jesus' prayer, we have been given tomorrow's bread today. Why? Because in God, all are fed. That is the gospel of Christ. May it be so. Announcements that folks need to or would like to share at this time.
Hello, all. On Sunday, March the 3rd at 7:30, there will be a four-hand piano recital here on this instrument involving me and our absent accompanist this morning, Greg. We're going to be playing some works by Clementi, Brahms, and Poulenc. And that is to serve as a dry run for another concert that Greg is involved in at the Music Room on March the 20th, where he'll be playing some Brahms and Debussy and all kinds of other good stuff. So that's next Sunday at 7:30 here and on the 20th at the Music Room. Thank you.
It's that time of month again. Year, yeah. So people have been asking how we're going to live up to Maurice and his level of humor and his presence. So
we've been doing our best to see if we can come up with some jokes. So this is the best we came up with for today. What did the beaver say to the maple tree? It's been nice gnawing you. We'll try harder for next week, but come join us in the hall. Place your orders for maple syrup, and we've got some recipes, so come on, join us.
Well, I'm here to invite you to Our Loaves and Fishes, which is Michael has been talking about Food for All, on Tuesday, March 5th. It's Shrove Tuesday, and we're going to have a pancake supper here at the church. And everybody's been saying to me, what do you mean it's pancakes and beans? And I'm thinking, I don't eat very much meat, so pancakes and beans seems really normal to me. But I never thought about it being not the norm. So I invite you all to come to Shrove Tuesday Pancake Supper. There'll be healthy pancakes with blueberries and rhubarb sauces and baked beans. And Gordon here challenged me to bake bean cook-off, kind of. He said his baked beans are the best, and they're not vegetarian baked beans. He was telling me his secret ingredients. I make vegetarian baked beans, which I actually think are the best. So I invite everybody to come out and try various different baked beans and pancakes. $10 a person, $25 for a family. If you know anybody that might be challenging for, invite them along with you. They will be fed. Let Jennifer or Michael know if you know anybody. Everyone will be fed. So thank you.
Good day. I have two announcements. Last week I said there was a focus on our future mission commitment form that was missing. It's in your bulletin today. If you can fill it out, if you can increase your givings to local, that would be appreciated. It needs to be filled today or next Sunday. After we receive those forms, the envelope steward and the treasurer will compile them, give us a number, and we're going to adjust the budget for the 10th, at which we'll have an information session. That's the tough one. The fun one is church in a pub, Tuesday night. I don't have fish, I don't have bread, but I'm guaranteeing there will be pepperoni and cheese and crackers and probably something else. Is it enough to feed everyone? Probably not, but there'll be some. Will you go home full? Doubt it.
But so far,
it will be fun.
I think he says there's scotch there, too, which is pretty nice to fill up on.
That's a secret.
Oh, sorry. Whoops.
We're doing a free will offering donation now, too, by the way. So all that money that the gentleman donated will go into local giving.
There we go. Just a quick reminder, I've got PAR forms for anybody who would like one. I mean, obviously, with the pledge form, I think it's an easy way for everyone. Last week, I had three people ask me how they could increase their PAR contributions. I didn't have an answer. Like, I didn't even think about it. You would speak to our treasurer, email our treasurer, and I think that that the church office can help with that. But I do have PAR forms if anyone is interested afterwards. Of course, I would say, does the PAR form and the increased giving form, like, how do they work together? You would, if like, we're not on PAR, we're going to fill out just the PAR form. I would take maple syrup over PAR. I mean, it's way more fun. But anyways, you can see me afterwards if you need a form. Thanks.
Millie, where's my tea? Millie, my tea. Oh, right, thank you. Let's see, yeah. Tuesday morning. Oh, that's good. Let's see. 8:05. Oh, the post. Millie, did the post come? The post! At the door. Right. Thank you. Cool. Oh. Oh, look.
Costa Plenty Cruise Lines. Oh, Melly, I got post. They responded. There's a note here from Tim. Don't know how you've done it, but you did. Good on you.
Good.
Oh. Let's see. God. Captain Arthur J. Stunderman. R-E-T. Dot. R-E-T. Yeah, I'm reading it. It is with much disternation, that we request you report to the Emerald... What is this? Costa Plenty Cruise Lines, February 23, 1955. Captain Arthur J. Stunderman... R-E-T, dot. As you are aware, we have not experienced a great deal of favorable results stemming from your time with us here at CCL. This most assuredly was underlined by your last voyage of August this past year, which culminated in many, many complaints and concerns surrounding the final incident, which had, shall we say, Titanic results. We have conferenced with our solicitors and are unfortunately compelled to do the following. Oh, that makes sense. It is with much consternation that we request you report to the Emerald of the Sea to take charge of our last voyage as captain. We are expecting many dignitaries and have covered all the bases by confirming that the finest cuisine and entertainment, the very popular musical group Southern Comfort, will be along for the entire voyage. There is also a chance that we may have an American lounge singer, Reed Flyer. Oh. Oh, look at that, isn't it pretty? Welcome aboard the Emerald of the Sea with Captain Stunderman. May 3rd, May 4th, May 10th, and May 11th with a practice cruise on May 3rd. Tickets are £40. Early bird special £35 if you pay before April 1. Well, that's nice. Captain Stunderman. We expect that you will give this your utmost attention and don't bung it up. Millie, bring out my whites. Pack them up. I'm going to sea.
Our moment for mission and service. Good luck following that. I wouldn't.
And now for the more serious note. Facing the occupation. June the 5th, 2017 marked the 50th year of Israelis' military occupation of Gaza, the West Bank, and East Jerusalem. More than two generations of Palestinians have known no other reality than Israeli military occupation. Staff in the United Church's Church and Mission Unit recently visited Palestine, Israel, where they were hosted by WEEM, the Palestinian Conflict Transformation Center. Opening in 1994, WEEM works to resolve disputes in the Palestinian community, support reconciliation, and address the psychological and physiological consequences of long-term conflict and occupation. Located just inside the separation walls surrounding Bethlehem, William literally faces the occupation. One quarter of its property is lost to the 8 meters high Israeli separation wall, and an Israeli security tower overlooks its outdoor space.
In spite of the 24-hour, 7 days-a-week surveillance, William is committed to providing programs empowering Palestinian youth, children, men, and women. One of its programs is a community garden. Even such simple projects face big challenges. At the height of summer, running water is denied to Bethlehem residents to maintain uninterrupted service to Israel settlements, and the nearby Israel military base directs its sewage run into the garden. In spite of these obstacles, William was proud to offer United Church staff a tour of its small garden and share a harvest of fresh pea pods snapped off and enjoyed in the last rays of sunshine on a warm evening. Mission and Service works with our partners striving for justice and peace in Palestine, Israel. If Mission and Service giving is already a regular part of your life, thank you so much. If you have not given, please join me in making Mission and Service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of our mission and service.
Thank you. In that spirit, then, our offerings will now be received. For the blessings we find in you, O God, we are truly thankful. For the ability to come together and join in worship this day, we are thankful. For the ways in which you have called us to live out our ministry and mission in the world, we are thankful. Bless these gifts of thanksgiving, those that are offered on this offering plate, those through par, those that are offered by the work of our hands, and those that were offered by the love that is in our hearts. Bless us as we seek to be a blessing in this place and in the world. In Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please have a seat. Thank you very much. Whoops. Good catch. I invite us to join together in a time of prayer. Once again, someone asked me the other day, last week, after last Sunday service, why the prayer of Jesus that's in the bulletin is different than the one perhaps maybe many of us learned as children. This one goes back to the 1960s, the heyday of Vatican II and the ecumenical movement, when the churches sought to live a little bit closer together and to share the love of God in language that was a little bit more modern and in the ways in which one speaks today, rather than in 1611 when the Lord's Prayer in King James English was shared. As we do here, the words are here in the bulletin. If those are the words you would like to share as a prayer, as Jesus' prayer, please do so. And if you are more comfortable with the traditional King James language, please pray that. It may sound like a cacophony to our ears, but we must trust that God's ears hear everything in every language all around the world, all at one time. God is big enough to do just that. Let us pray. We have gathered here this day, O God. We've come together on this Sunday morning as it is our custom. We have sung hymns and songs of praise. We have delved into the scriptures handed down to us generation upon generation. We have tried to find our way into the stories of Jesus. Tried to discern within those stories the ways in which we are called to live as his followers. These 2,000 years later, the world has become more complex in many, many ways. Technology drives so much of what we do. And yet, there are some things that even technology cannot change. Your love, your care, the spirit that is within each and every one of us as human beings sharing this planet together. Each and every person in the world dependent wholly and completely upon the life of this fragile, fragile rock as it hurtles through space. It is the ground on which we stand. It is the air which we breathe. It is the water we drink. These three basic things in you give life. It is in a life together that we have gathered in Cole Harbor Woodside United Church. We have strived to listen to your spirit speaking to us. We have sought to discern your ways. We have listened with hope and anticipation of new things just around the corner awaiting us. We have worked hard and laid a good foundation of the care and comfort of Christ, not only within these walls, but in the community as well. And just when we think we've done all that we need to do, you call us again. You call us from our comfortable pews, ask us to rise and to share your light once again with a new generation, with new people, with new friends. Help us as we walk in your way to keep our ears open, our eyes open, our spirits open to those we encounter in our lives' journeys. May they see you in us, and may we see you in them, and know that we are one human family in this world. We are gathered here in community and in faith. We love and care for one another, those people who we know and those who we don't know. We have been asked to pray for them and on their behalf. And so today we name Carolyn and Joy and Beth, Heather, Gary and Gary, Irene and Della and Wayne, Hannah and Graham, Suzanne and Nancy, Eric, Reg, Carmen, Richard, Neil, Faith, Sean, Millie, Dorothy, Simon, Matilda. Those names that we know and those names that we cannot know. And yet your spirit cares for us all. Be with us, God. Be with them for whom we pray. As we share together in the words based in Jesus, as we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from a time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And our closing hymn this morning is 563, Voices United. But before we get to that, I had an inspiration, a thought. My memory kicked in, and someone's celebrating a birthday today. Wayne in the background is celebrating birthday. Three people told me before the service, and I just remembered now. My brain is that. I think we should wish him a happy birthday. It's your last one. It better not be. Better not be. I think a rousing chorus for Wayne and anyone else who is celebrating a special day in this week that is to come.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Wayne. Happy birthday to you.
And God's blessings. Jesus, you have come to the lakeshore, 563 in Voices United.
Thank you.
one last note. Please do, if you did not print off the commitment form that came in the email, there are paper copies on the back table. Please pick one up. If you can fill it out today and drop it in the box there, that would be greatly appreciated. We need to be able to make a decision on March 17th at the congregational meeting, which will follow service. So as we go from this time in this place, let us go knowing that we have been in each other's company and in the presence of God, who called us together, who has inspired us, has lifted us up, and now sends us into the world to be light and life, to share love and joy, and to be Christ's representatives to those we encounter this week and the weeks to come. Amen.